This has been a glorious weekend. The weather could not have been better. The sky has been blue and the temperature's just right. We celebrated a wedding yesterday of Heather Garlick and Scott Lee. The day could not have been better. Many of us feel compelled to get busy when the weather is nice. It's time for spring cleaning, weeding flower beds, washing windows, and any number of other chores that fall by the wayside during the winter months. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, we think. Stay busy. Don't take a break. If you slow down, you are somehow missing the mark. If you aren't busy, you are somehow less valuable. And yet, today, we hear again and again to abide. The word abide seems to be the word of the day, or maybe it's just a favorite word of the author known as John. In both our epistle reading from the first letter of John and our reading from the Gospel of John, we are told again and again to abide, specifically to abide in love. Abide is not a word that frequents our daily conversations. I can't remember the last time I used the word abide conversationally. Actually, I doubt that I've ever casually thrown the word abide into a conversation or even into a letter, formal or otherwise. Abide is just not a 21st century word. The word abide implies a settling of sorts, an inactivity. The frenetic activity of daily existence in the world today leaves little room for abiding. According to Merriam-Webster, the word abide can be defined in the following ways: to wait for, to await, to endure without yielding, to withstand, to bear patiently, and finally, to tolerate. That is not the way of our world. Our world has no stake in abiding. We want quick fixes, fast everything, from food to solutions of every kind. We want instant messages and instant pain relievers. There is nothing in our experience today that gives us any support for this call to abide. Abiding seems inefficient and counterproductive. We want to measure our worth and check off our productivity. We believe that we're valuable when we can show proof of what we have accomplished in a day or a week or a year. And yet, our productivity and our busyness does not seem to add up to the value of our worth in God. Jesus says, "Abide in me." Jesus does not ever say, work yourself to the bone, be incredibly busy, make sure you're super productive, put 60 plus hours in a week at your career, and then put more in your household duties. What Jesus says is, abide in me. Jesus calls us out of our culture. Jesus calls us to rest in him, to trust in him, to let go and turn our lives over to him. Jesus affirms the time we spend waiting, withstanding, and just being. You may have found this to be true in your lives. I've found it to be true in mine and the lives of others who are known to be impatient. Abiding, which in my book sounds a lot like patiently waiting, is not something I've done well for the most part. But there was one exception to that rule. When I was pregnant with my first child, Trey, we discovered about 3 months in that I had a condition called placenta previa, which meant basically that things were backwards. The first was last and the last was first, and not in a good way. I was put on full bed rest. I was told to abide, to be still, to wait. I was told that I needed to be able to get to the hospital in 3 minutes in case things went south. This was serious and dangerous, I was told, but I felt fine. The time of waiting and abiding was incredibly taxing. Waiting and abiding even with the intent of bringing a new life into the world, was contrary to my understanding of needing to be an actively productive member of society. That time was perhaps the closest I've come to living into the understanding of abiding in God's love. Nothing else could have kept me sane. The really unsuspecting part of this already out of the ordinary urging to abide is that it is all tied to love. And if we've been following Jesus and listening to what he has to say, the fact that this is all about love is not so unsuspecting after all. Jesus, in John's telling of the story, takes this love to another level. We hear, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers and sisters are liars." Wow. "For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." The command we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Abiding in God's love means moving away from self. John does not mince these words. If you do not love your brother or sister, you do not love God. That's pretty strong. Those who love God must love their brother and sister. Of interest, perhaps, is that there are no caveats here. There are no out clauses. Those who love God must love their brother and sister also. This commandment seems more countercultural than the command to rest or abide in God. Love here, though, does not imply gushy emotional feeling for brother and sister, but an intent of goodwill, and even more than that. Love, in the scriptural sense, means hoping for every good thing and every blessing that you would want for yourself, for your brother and your sister. And we pray that we will love as God loves us. The only way that we can possibly love as God loves us is if we do abide in that love, if we are supported, filled, directed, and moved by God's love. The beauty of the Episcopal Church is that we realize that we are not capable of anything apart from Christ. And so when we make our promises in the words of our baptismal covenant, we answer each prayer with the words, "I will with God's help." In doing so, we make that our continual prayer in all circumstances, not the least of which is our prayer to abide in Christ so that we may love others as we have been loved. The only hope we have to love as we have been loved is with God's help. Thanks be to God. Amen.